Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
There's nothing wrong with you for being tempted or being drawn to it,
yeah.
But it's not what God wants for you. He wants the sacredness of sex to live exclusively within that marriage covenant.
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King. That it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and I am so excited for today's episode. We're diving into a topic that affects so many people in today's world. Pornography. I am excited about these special guests because they share so much wisdom. Dave and Ashley Willis from the Naked Marriage podcast are as real and authentic as it gets. Jordan and I have been personally listening to this podcast for over 2 years now, and every episode is edifying, encouraging, and points you right back to the cross. I know this is going to set someone free today, so without further ado, let's hop in. Okay, Ashley and Dave, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Brittany.
Excited to be here.
Yes, it's an honor. Honor
oh my
to be
gosh,
here.
I'm so excited. I cannot wait to just hear all the wisdom that you guys have to share with just the people that listen to this podcast. And today's episode specifically is a little heavy hitter. But you guys, one thing I love about what you do is you aren't afraid to go there. So to anyone that's listening that might not know who you guys are, would you share a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. So we are Dave and Ashley Willis. We're the hosts of the Naked Marriage podcast and part of the team at EXO Marriage. And our most important jobs, though, are parents to four awesome boys, Cooper, Connor, Chandler, and Chatham. And they keep us busy. And we love what we do. We've been married 22 years. We're college sweethearts. And we currently live in the Augusta, Georgia area. And we are loving life.
Oh, I love that. And Georgia's so beautiful, especially this time of the year. What? Oh my gosh. Okay. So you've been married 22 years. What is your biggest, I didn't plan on asking this, but what is your biggest piece of marriage advice that you would give to maybe someone that's newly married, or maybe they've been married a few years and they're hitting like a rough patch? What would you guys share with them?
Yeah, that's great advice. I mean, that's a great question. You know, I don't know that it's just, we get asked that a lot, actually, like what's the secret, you know, what's the one thing, the main thing. And I always say, like, I don't think it's really just one thing. I think it's consistently doing a lot of things, you know, it's being, that word consistent is huge. Just be nice consistently, communicate consistently, pray consistently. Cause in any part of life, whatever you do consistently is really what's going to make a difference, you know, whether it's your health or your finances or your faith. It's the habits that really make all the difference. And I would say just develop really good habits. And this sounds like really simple, but be nice to each other. You know, it's like couples get out of the habit of just being nice to each other. And that's when we really start seeing things spiral downward. So,
just be nice.
Just be nice. Yeah. Start there. Just start there and you'll be doing all right.
I would say too, be best friends. Like, I mean, I think people underestimate the power of friendship and marriage and just how that gets you through hard times is just that base level foundational friendship. And I think, you know, as Christians, I feel like the more we grow in our faith together, the more we grow in our friendship, the more we grow in our appreciation. And then you are nicer to each other, you know?
Yeah, totally.
And you're also quick to apologize. I mean, I think that's huge too, but, yeah, I mean, there's a lot. We could talk about it all day. But we have a lot about that on the Naked Marriage podcast.
Yeah, for sure. It's a great question.
I do think it's the simple things. I do think, like what you said, we tend to overcomplicate it. It's really the simplest of things.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you see, it's like on Instagram and just online social media, you see all these things you have to do as a spouse. And I'm like, or you could just go back to the basics.
Yeah,
just like exactly. Follow, exactly. Just follow what the Lord has asked us and instructed us to do. And I think he's got it figured out for us already. So I love that.
Exactly.
Well, one reason that my husband and I have been listening to the Naked Marriage podcast for, like I said, almost 2 years now is you guys just aren't afraid to talk on the topics that you might not necessarily hear on Sunday morning in church. And today's episode specifically, we're going to talk on pornography. And that is a very common struggle, not just for men, but for women also. And you guys have shared that quite often on your podcast. And I love that. So to the person who is maybe struggling herself with this secret sin, or maybe she's married to someone that is struggling with pornography, what would you say to encourage her or them?
Yeah.
You want to start?
You go ahead. Not want to share our testimony. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So we not only talk about this a lot, just with the work that we do, but we've lived this, you know. So like I can talk about how dangerous porn is, not only from like the statistics and from Bible verses, and I can do all that, of course, as well. But I lived it. I was a statistic. You know, I was one of the 95% of American teenagers that get exposed to porn before they turn 18, and those images just sort of locked in my mind and started to develop toxic roots and change the way I started seeing myself and others, and God's gift of sex started to become really tainted in my mind. And I carried that secret sin, which I tried to battle just by willpower instead of doing the work of getting accountability and help. And I would stay away for a while and I'd fall back into it. And when Ashley and I got together, I didn't tell her that this had been a struggle. I didn't want her to see me differently. So I made the huge mistake of keeping a secret when marriage has to be rooted in complete honesty and transparency. That's why we call our podcast The Naked Marriage. It's not just physical nakedness, but God's design is that we're naked in all ways, emotionally, spiritually. We don't keep secrets.
Yeah.
But I kept the secret because I was afraid. And I fell back into porn probably about a year into our marriage. And she found it. This was like before the days of smartphones. We're old, you know. This was back when, you know, we had these big clunky desktop
computers.
And yeah. But she found where I'd been, and it all came out. And so once it came out, once anything comes out, once something's not in the darkness, it's in the light, it automatically has less power over you. I just wish I'd had the courage to confess it instead of really being caught. But I'm so glad that she did find it, because it put us on a journey of really moving forward. And I had to get honest about just how deeply rooted it was in my mind, and how those images, I really had to detox from them. And it was a messy process. I mean, I relapsed. I hated myself. I felt just stuck in this sin, but over time, with Ashley's support, with God's help, with accountability tools. And, you know, we talk in great length about what those look like. I've been free for a really long time, and I'm so thankful. So for people listening right now, first off, if you're a woman listening, I know it's mostly women who are listening. If you're struggling with yourself, just know you're not weird. God wires us up to be visual, men and women both, so that there's nothing wrong with you for being tempted or being drawn to it.
Yeah.
But it's not what God wants for you. He wants the sacredness of sex to live exclusively within that marriage covenant. And any expression of that, any fantasy related to that outside of marriage is really just going to hurt you. And anybody that's looked at porn for a while, they know that from personal experience. I mean, it really does start to impact your relationships negatively, your mindset, your mental health. If your husband is looking at it and you're one of those women who feel like, oh my gosh, he's looking at it, it must be my fault. I'm not enough. I'm not attractive. I promise you, this is not you. This is in no way a deficiency of you. This is a sin that he fell into. It has nothing to do with any deficiency in you. I know it feels very personal, and it is. It is a sin against you as the wife, but don't add to that sin by feeling that you're somehow responsible, because you are not. Ashley was in no way responsible for my sin. I mean, I was and always have been so wildly attracted to her. It was my mind had been broken by this sin, and so I kept returning to it. just like in Proverbs, there's this really gross verse in Proverbs that says, just like a dog returns to its vomit.
Yeah.
So a fool keeps returning to, you know, to their sin. And that I was like that dog that was going back to this puke, this disgusting thing, knowing it was disgusting, but yet just caught up in it. We go into a lot more detail about all that. You know, I don't want to take your whole program just talking about
my
perspective of the story, but I'm just so thankful for this woman. Jesus and Ashley are the heroes in our story as it relates to kind of getting free from it. And I'm so thankful for how she responded. Though I had wounded her deeply, she gave me the opportunity to rebuild the trust I'd broken. She walked alongside me, recognizing that I was wounded from the sin that I'd committed, and we got through it. And I'm so thankful. And now, you know, we still have porn blocking software and accountability software on our devices. We have it on our boys' devices because they're growing up in a world where it's everywhere.
Yeah,
and we're trying to help them navigate that and stay away from it. And we talk to people every day. I think every day we have a conversation about porn because it is everywhere. And so if you're listening and it's impacted you, you're not alone. You can get through it. There are tools out there to help. And yeah, don't lose hope. Yeah.
Wow.
And I think whenever I'm at a conference and we're speaking and we get to share about porn, it kind of from our own testimony, I always at the end of it have women come up to me and say, you know, how did you ever want to, you know, have sex with your husband again? Or how did you ever look at him the same again? I mean, that's a common question. And I would tell them this, you know, I would say to a woman who has discovered her husband has a porn habit or even a porn addiction is that, you really have to remember that anytime, you know, our loved one sins or even we sin, we're not defined by that sin. Like God does not look at us as being defined by that sin. He looks at us as his beloved children who've messed up, who've sinned. And the goal is, you know, repentance. The goal is turning from that sin and walking in freedom. And if I, as his wife, am constantly bringing up like, you're disgusting and, how could you do this to us? I can never look at you the same again. Then he's not going to walk in freedom. Now I have every reason to feel disgusted. I mean, when I discovered that porn on our old clunky computer, I mean, my first thought was, well, what creeper broke into our house and looked at porn on our computer in our basement? Like I could not believe it was Dave. Like you just don't think of your, you know, we kind of hold our spouse on a pedestal and I just couldn't believe it. And then it was like the Holy Spirit just opened my eyes to something I needed to see. And it was not what I wanted to see or know, but it needed to happen in order for healing to happen. And so, you know, in that moment and for a little bit afterwards, I was angry. I was disgusted. I was mad. I did have insecurity. I felt like, man, you know, what is it about me that he's not feeling fulfilled, you know, sexually? Like, what did I do wrong? And, so I had all those feelings, but I did, you know, after I kind of gathered myself together, I called him because I wanted to hear Dave admit to it. I needed to hear it from him. And I literally just called him at work and he said hello. And all I said was, do you have something you need to tell me? And he knew immediately what I was talking about.
Wow.
And he just started apologizing. And he said it was like the worst day and the best day all at the same time. And from that day forward, though, it was like once I told him how I felt, I told him how it hurt me. Yeah. But after that, I really through prayer just, you know, ask God to not let me grow resentful, to not let me retaliate, and to help Dave get the help he needed. And I think that's key in all of this because, you know, I mess up all the time. Dave's had to forgive me for various things throughout our marriage. And I think we, you know, in marriage, we need to be each other's burden bearers. And even when it comes to the sin of pornography, when you bear that burden together and you help your spouse to get, you know, to become part of an accountability group, you know, to get that software they need on their phone, to establish having, you know, those check-ins with you or a trusted friend where they can say like, how is it? Like, how's the temptation? Are you feeling like it's been a hard week? You know, whatever. I think that when we do it together, you know, that's how we get through it.
Wow. There's so many things to unpack from everything you guys just shared. That's so beautiful. And just seeing how God redeemed all of that, it's only God that could redeem something like that. And I love, Dave, that you shared about how it's not a lack in the woman that causes a man to look at pornography. It's solely a sin, because I think as a female who's also been through that, so part of my testimony is in my past relationships, I was kind of forced to watch porn before sex. And that always made me feel like I wasn't enough. And that actually spiraled me into eating disorders and just terrible, you know, mental thoughts of myself and body image and self-esteem issues and all of that, as it does for most women. And so I love that you called that out of the dark and you said, it's not you. This is something that's, it's a personal struggle. And then I love the grace, Ashley, that you showed him in that season of life that was seemingly probably one of the most broken seasons of his life, of realizing like, how could I, you know, have done this to my wife? And it is though, it's the lens of Jesus and just having the eyes of Christ and seeing through that lens that he wants us to see others through and loving them like Christ asks us to. And so that's so beautiful. Several times you guys mentioned just the practical tools of things that you guys have implemented into your life still and even your kids' lives. What are some things? So like say someone just discovered that their husband is struggling with porn, or maybe they as a wife are struggling with this. What are some practical things that they can do to get out of this sin?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, yeah. So right from that moment of discovery, I think Ashley was so wise in that moment of discovery when you're feeling so many different things and you're like, you could react in so many different ways. And she took a breath and really let God, you know, lead her through that. I think there was so much wisdom there because our emotions can lie to us sometimes. You know, our emotions can get us to retaliate in ways that are going to ultimately be destructive in the long run. And so process your emotions, whatever they are, you know, anger, fear, hurt, all of it, you know, process that, work through it, be honest about what you're feeling. But then quickly start working together to get a plan of moving forward, because God's design is that you find healing together. Mm-hmm. And that's probably going to take counseling. I think, you know, individual counseling and counseling as a couple can be really helpful. Our ministry provides marriage mediation where somebody can meet you via Skype or by phone from wherever you are. You can go to exomarriage.com/help or find a good Christian counselor in your area. I think immediately getting some accountability software on your devices. And there are some great ones out there. We've used Custodio with the Q-U-S-T-O-D-I-O. Covenant Eyes is a good one. Ever Accountable is a good one. These are all softwares that not only block porn, but they'll also track every search, every site that's visited, and then send that report to somebody, a trusted accountability partner, or, you know, you can make sure your spouse has access to that as well. Because you have to have transparency to build trust. And anything that you're keeping in secret from one another, whether it's porn or whether it's secret purchases or whether it's secret conversations or whatever it might be, those are always going to be things that will sabotage the marriage in the long run unless you deal with them. And so you gotta shine the light on everything and start moving forward to build trust again.
Definitely. And I would say too, I've noticed a lot of churches are having groups they might refer to as freedom groups, or there's, you know, Celebrate Recovery. There's these support groups you can find within the church setting. And I just am so excited that that's more available today, because I think that one of the biggest lies that Satan tries to convince us is that we're the only one.
Yeah.
Like, you're the only Christian man who's looked at porn. You're the only, you know, Christian woman who's dealing with a porn addiction or whatever it is. And I think that if we really allow ourselves to believe those lies, that's going to hinder our recovery. And so it's important to have friends where you're like, okay, you're dealing with this too. Let's hold each other accountable. And I think it's just beautiful how God can work in a powerful way through those settings.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. So what did, my curiosity is, what did the process of rebuilding trust look like after that? Obviously you guys went to counseling and I'm sure you guys went to counseling together too, but was that a long journey? Was it a relatively, because the Lord, it was in your marriage, obviously it's different as Christians, right? What did that look like moving forward from that moment?
Yeah,
that's a great question. Well, the only way to rebuild trust is consistency. So like the founder of our ministry, Jimmy Evans, has said, you know, trust is built in drops and it's lost in buckets. Mm. So I dumped out a bucket full of trust all at once and I had to rebuild it one drop at a time through consistency. And even through that process, I dumped it out again, like at least once through that relapse. But we just kept one drop at a time, choosing to believe the best in each other. She chose to believe the best in me, called out the best in me. And we just stayed on that path. And we continued to move forward. You know, pretty quickly, we started being intentional about saying, well, we're not going to go through this like long sexual fast from one another, because she didn't want that to feel like a punishment or to feel like she was disgusted by me.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was delicate. It was a delicate, you know, process of reconnecting in that way. But she was so courageous in being the one to initiate and saying, I think that quickly, just to make sure there's no room for kind of Satan to move in with temptation or to bring division here, we need to keep prioritizing our sex life. But it needs to, we need to make sure there's nothing else coming into our marriage bed, you know, virtually or otherwise, that's kind of sabotaging it. And so we just proactively tried to stay connected physically, spiritually. We prayed together. We spent a lot of time together. I would check in with her a lot, even through the day if I was at work, just to let her know, like, hey, you're on my mind. Hey, you know, I didn't want my absence to kind of plant seeds of doubt in her mind of like, well, what's he doing? And those, some of those habits really kind of stuck even long after trust had mm-hmm. been rebuilt, and were just good habits anyway. Like we still check in with each other all the time. We still stay connected through the day, and it really helped us just redesign our habits in a way that was going to help us move forward.
Definitely. And I would say one thing too, that we established back then that we still keep today is, you know, gosh, you know, now that we have Netflix and we have Amazon Prime and we have, like, you know, all these different, you know, Max, all these different apps that we can watch, you know, they don't have some of the rules that regular TV has as far as sex scenes and different things like that. And so you cannot technically be watching porn. Like, it's not, you didn't go to some CD store and get a porno, like, you know, like it used to be. Or stream it. You know, you didn't do either one of those things, but you're mm-hmm. watching Game of Thrones all the time. Yeah. Or you're watching something else that has lots of sex scenes. And you guys, like, I know I'm stepping on some toes here, but let's be honest about it, that this is just pretty much what probably you would refer to as soft porn or maybe full on porn. I mean, if you're really looking for it, you can find it. And so something that we love a good show. And sadly, a lot of really good shows, all of a sudden they'll be like this crazy sex scene out of nowhere that you're not even expecting. And so what we'll do is either not watch the show or we'll fast forward real quick. Like we really don't want to even open the door to that, because it is, it's so.
Because it's a gateway.
I mean, it's a gateway. Yes. Yeah. And like, it's so easy. I mean, you cannot even be looking for it and it's there, you know?
I love that you said that, because we do. We talk about that a lot on this podcast, is like what you watch, what you listen to, what you choose to entertain. I mean, it's called entertainment for a reason. Enter. Something is entering into your gateways and your mind and your soul and all of that. And so I love that, because we live in, literally my husband and I, we were watching a movie the other night and in theaters, and it was like a war movie. So we were like, it's history. And all of a sudden, just like full blown sex scene. Yeah. And both of us just like, we immediately looked at each other and we're like, we're just going to like keep staring at each other until this is over with. You can't avoid it these days. Yeah. And so I think I love your practical advice of like, fast forward, don't even watch it. Don't even entertain it. There are so many shows that my husband and I love watching, but we can't watch it anymore because it's just in your face. And it's really unfortunate, but it's not worth it. I mean, because my husband's testimony is he used to struggle with porn as well. And the Lord healed him and he broke free of that in his late 20s, praise God. But because he knows that that was a past temptation, we have like strict boundaries, strict rules in our marriage of like what we watch, what we listen to. And you just have to. I mean, you have to guard your ear gates and your eye gates.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I love the way you put that. Another, I heard, I think it was Lisa Turkers, who's one of my favorite authors. She said, the mind feasts on what it focuses on.
Wow.
And so when you're feasting on pornography or even just pornographic images from a show that isn't technically porn, it's so easy to just focus on that. And then you're building up that lust. You're really feeding that lust. And, you know, Jesus speaks he talks a lot about lust, because, you know, he says to look at a woman or a man with lust is committing adultery with them in your mind. And that's really what pornography does. And also these sex scenes on regular shows do. So we've just really got to guard our hearts and our minds, because it is something that is so simple. And we try to teach our boys this, I mean, at a pretty young age, because it isn't, like Dave was saying, we are designed to be sexual beings. Like the desire to want to look at a beautiful body, to want to have sex, you know, like that's a good desire, but it's supposed to happen in the context of marriage and with your spouse. And so, it's like, you know, just trying to understand ourselves. And also if we have kids, to teach our kids, you know, where that fits in our life.
And that porn doesn't help your sex life.
No,
like people believe
the
myth that it's going to spice things up or that it's going to, some people say, well, it's just instructive. I'm just learning things. I'm like, there's nothing real or reality about it. And, there's a lot of stats about that, but we had a former adult film actor, Joshua Broom, on our podcast, and he's a pastor now. He's saved, but he talks about how he kind of got misled into that world as a young man, and the years he spent there, how just broken the industry is, and how on the outer veneer, everything looks perfect and it's this fantasy, but how there's so much brokenness and there's so much abuse, and how he's had 30 friends. Around 30 friends from the industry since he left over like 7 years ago that have died by either suicide or drug overdose.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of depression. There's it's a lot terrible. Of addiction. Many people who are in that industry have a lot of sexual abuse in their own past. Even sometimes human trafficking is involved. There's so much darkness in it. And when we're watching it, we're supporting that darkness. Yeah. We're funding it. We're part of the problem. And it's doing terrible things in us and to us. So there's really no benefit. You know, there's just no benefit. And so we try to help our kids see that whole picture, that the world's going to tell you this is good, this is entertainment, this is empowering, but it's none of those things. It's all a facade.
I would say this too. If someone's wanting to know, if you're doubtful and you're like, you know, Dave and Ashley, I get that was an issue for you, but it's just not for me. It does spice up our marriage, or it does, you know, it just is something I'm doing while I'm single because I am not married. And so I'm trying to not have sex before marriage. And so I'm just watching this. I mean, like there's like scenarios that we can tell ourselves to justify it because that's what we do. I mean, that's our human nature. But you can go check out Moral Revolution is a Christian page on Instagram. They have great stats. And then we have, there's a secular page called Fight the New Drug, and they share stats too. And so you look at both the secular and the Christian, and it's like the research that happens on both ends points to it being bad. I mean, it taking away from you and your marriage and future, you know, relationships. Not that there's not healing possible. There is.
Yeah.
But it really is. It is a drug. I mean, I love that Fight the New Drug calls it a drug because it is. I mean, they even have found that with brain scans that it does like what heroin does to the brain. Like it literally has the same kind of reaction. And so you want to go back to it again and again. And it's hard to get over any kind of drug and to recover, but it's possible. But the first step is recognizing that it's bad for you and that it's something that is not of God. It's a sin. And it's something that is taking you down a rabbit hole you never even knew existed.
Yeah. Wow. And realizing that there's no, like you don't have to feel shame. Shame is not of the Lord.
Right.
And realizing that you have permission to tell someone. I mean, if someone would have told me that, I could have shared that with, you know, a friend or someone that was in my circle at that time that would have helped me. I wish I would have, because it would have gotten me out of that darkness. Cause that's what it is. It's we're called to bring the dark into the light. And, I wish I would have known that sooner. So one last question, you guys are parents. I'm not, so I don't really know the answer to this question, but I know I have a lot of moms that listen to this podcast. Say they have kids that are of age and are starting, you know, they have their phones and they're starting to like really see the world in different colors as a teenager. How would they go about having this conversation with their kids to protect them? Or is it simply just implementing these, you know, softwares onto their phones that don't let things pop up when they're on social media? What would that look like? If you guys haven't heard by now already, in the month of October, I launched a new business called Hazel and Lane. Seeing what God has done so far has absolutely blown our minds. And if you don't know what Hazel and Lane is, let me give you a 20-second Cliff Notes version. In October of 2022, I had a miscarriage that would forever change a lot of things in my life. But what happened next is something I never would have expected. In my most broken moment, the Lord birthed a beautiful new thing. Just days after my miscarriage, I had an open vision of what I am currently living out with this business, a women and children's boutique. One thing led to another, and 1 year later, October of 2023, that vision came to life. Hazel and Lane were the two names that we had picked out for that child. And now every day is a sweet reminder of the children that we have waiting on the other side of heaven. It's been nothing short of amazing, and I am so incredibly grateful for the way that this community has rallied around this dream. If you are looking for a Christ-focused business to support this holiday season, or just want to shop around for yourself, you can visit us at hazelandlane.com. That's H-A-Z-E-L-A-N-D LAYNE.com. And while you're there, you can use the code podcast for free shipping. Every package is prayed over and put together with love.
Well,
that's a great question.
Yeah, I think that you have to establish with your kids from an early age that you're a safe place for them to talk about whatever, and that you're not going to freak out, right? When they come home and they're like, I heard this, or you know, somebody showed me this on the school bus or whatever. And I mean, I think about our son Cooper when he was eighth grade, first day of eighth grade, he was on the bus and he came home and I said, how was your day? And he was like, oh, it was fine. And then he asked us, he said, I got a question though. He said, do girls like it when boys text them pictures of their privates? And we were like,
wow.
Unpack that. Like, you know, because like I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, what's he talking about? But we didn't freak out. We're like, well, unpack that, you know, tell us like, more. And he said, well, there were these boys on the bus and they were like taking their phones and like opening up their pants and taking pictures and trying to show people pictures. And then they said, oh, I'm going to text this to these girls. Girls love getting pictures like this. And he said, do girls really like that? And I said, no, buddy, they don't. And I said, and it's illegal also. This is like child porn. But it provided a conversation of not freaking out, but just saying you're in a world where you're going to see a lot of brokenness. And this was like a good school district, by the way, too. It wasn't going to juvie or something. this was a good, just regular kids.
Yeah.
But that's the world that they're in. And then the phones and the technology have just amplified everything. So we try to be really open and honest about like, hey, you're going to hear a lot of false messages. And we want to be a safe place to tell you the truth about God's plan for sex, to be, you know, honest and open, because
even about your testimony.
Gift. Yeah. Like, you know, my kids have heard me from like even the stage talk about how I struggle with porn and how damaging that was for me, and and how I want to protect them, you know, from that. So I think we've got to be willing to be honest, even about our own mistakes, which can be scary as parents, as it relates to sex especially. But that honesty is going to create authenticity and trust with our kids, and just be willing to hear them out, talk to them, and keep reminding them that God loves you. He made you. Your body's a gift from Him. Sex is a gift from Him, meant for marriage. And anything outside of marriage is going to hurt you and hurt others. And so, but if you make those mistakes, again, like you said, Brittany, there's not shame. Shame's not of God. He makes us new. He gives us freedom. He gives us grace to find healing. But there's still pain that we experience, and God wants to prevent us from experiencing that pain. And so, that's a lot to say. Just talk to him. If you've got boys in particular, boys are our whole experience. We've got four boys, no girls. So I wrote a book a few years back called Raising Boys Who Respect Girls. That's kind of all about the conversations at different stages of maturity that we've had with the boys. Mm-hmm. I didn't delve into like this, what to say to girls. I'm like, I'll let somebody with daughters write that book. But just be willing to talk. I think parents get scared, and it is scary, but you can do it. Like if you don't do it, then
someone else will,
and they won't be getting the right lessons.
And the internet, you know, back when I was in high school, it was, you know, a magazine. Like that's what we would, you know, we'd go to one of those magazines that don't have the best things to say. So you just, you know, I think it's important to be that safe place for your kids. I want to say this too. Sometimes kids, because we always tell them, like, if you have a question about what something is, and it could be like a sexual act or whatever, or something you heard and you're not sure what it is, come to us. And there's been times where they've come to us and I'm like, I'm not sure what that word is. And I'm telling you, the Urban Dictionary, I've looked it up and I've been like, I mean, this is like when you're in your 40s and you're a parent, this is what you do. So like, I'm like,
what is it?
And then I'm
now,
like, that's what they're calling it now. I'm like, back in my day, this is what they called it, you know? But it is, I try not to freak out though. Like that's been the hardest thing for me, is like when our older two boys, which are only like 2 years apart, were in middle school, just not freaking out. Like even with like the picture thing from the bus, I just really try not to show, even if I need to go in another room and be like, oh my gosh, you know, I try to just be real chill about it. Cause then they want to come back and I'm like, well, let's just talk about it. But I think that's the best piece of advice we can give. And I will tell you, our oldest is now in college, and there's been stuff, you know, being a freshman in college that he's like, can I talk to y'all about this? Like, I didn't even know this thing was possible or whatever, you know, in culture and whatever, if it's about anything, he'll come to us and he will ask us. And I told Dave, I said, I'm so glad because I want to be able to have those kind of conversations, you know, with him and with all of our boys. And so, yeah, just being that safe place is huge.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, because I didn't really have that with my parents growing up. It was just a very hush-hush conversation. Yes. Like, you just didn't talk about it. You didn't go there. It was very taboo in the church. And because I grew up Southern Baptist. And so y'all know, like, just don't even talk about it. Don't even bring it up. Yeah. Like, it's just kind of
Don't ever do it.
Yeah. Don't do it or go into hell. And I was like, wait, what? Yeah. Like, what happens if I do? Like, what? There's got to be hope. And so I love that you guys said that and spoke on that. And that's just going to help so many parents have that open, honest relationship with their children as they're growing up and they're teenagers and all their hormones are raging. And there's, because it's so true. If you don't talk about it with them, someone else will. And it's probably going to be the internet and it's going to be someone at school that's not influencing them in a godly way. And so I love that. Well, to wrap this up, where can everyone find you guys? And if you have any books that you want to share, like this is a huge topic that people just are always wanting to learn on. So this is your opportunity to share those things.
Sure. Well, we have a lot of resources on our YouTube page. It's just Dave and Ashley Willis YouTube page. And also our Naked Marriage podcast for parents. We have a new parenting podcast called Parenting Uncovered, where I think we have a whole episode. We've had one on sex, but we have a whole episode on pornography coming up. But I would say for those who are actually struggling with porn, our book, The Counterfeit Climax, is for you. Like, it goes through how to, you know, really renew your mind, how to allow God to renew your mind, how to deal, you know, with a spouse who has this issue, or if you have it yourself. And it really goes through, I think we have questions at the end of every chapter that really gives a couple the ability to talk about these things. Or if you are a single person struggling with this, I think you could read it and get a lot out of it too.
Yeah. And the ministry's website, where there's a ton of free resources, the ministry we're part of is XO Marriage. It's the letter XOMarriage.com, and so many great resources there. And the ministry also does a lot of great live events. So if you're interested in coming and doing one of our live events, they're so much fun. We would love to see you on the road. So check it out.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. And I'm sure this won't be the last time we connect.
Thanks, Brittany. Thanks so much for having us.
I love that Dave and Ashley are so open about their testimony in this arena. So many people shy away from the topic of pornography, but if we are being honest, that is exactly what Satan wants. He wants us to keep living in the shame and fear of what people will think of me, when in reality, almost everyone, statistically speaking, has either come across pornographic material or they have battled this secret sin. Wherever you are at, I truly hope that this encouraged you. I hope it encouraged you that there is hope, that you are not alone, and that there is freedom to be found on the other side, that Jesus wants to set every captive free, even here. If you found this episode to be helpful, please leave a 5-star review or share this episode with a friend. You never know who might need to hear this. As always, thank you guys so much for stopping in, and we will see you guys in the next one.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today. And remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient, even here.